I'll trust you.
Here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 196, ladies and gentlemen. 196, can you believe it? I can't believe it. This is live this time, even. And this is episode 196. Yeah, I said that already. What are we reading? That's it. What are we reading? I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Well, all right. We're going to go over some stuff that we've been enjoying.
Chris.
What?
Chris, is your family any relation to that Marilyn Mosby chick up in...
No.
Okay, no. Just check. All right.
Despite the skin color difference, no.
No, okay. Not a common name, so.
No. Mosby? I don't really think so. I was the first one I saw that's like, well, I got to go see who that is. And then I looked and it's like, I don't think we're related, no. So,
you know.
You never know. We might be, for all I know.
That's right. Thomas Jefferson had.
This is true. This is true. He did. That's what we got here, boys and girls.
Well, I just want to start off by saying I'm glad I stuck with Convergence because 4 and 5 have been so much better.
I think, I believe you're right. It has been better. It took a turn. Kind of a weird one, but it took a turn nonetheless.
Real quick, spoilers.
Okay, we're spoilery.
I think I've read up to 4.
Ah.
Is that where they meet? Is that where they start to head into Warlord Land?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have actually. I am up to date on that. I just double checked.
Warlord fans will not be happy with number 5. Let me just.
It's like they're doing that thing where they just throw. Sometimes, now correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes it feels like they're throwing things in just so they could keep the copyright.
Well, they certainly defeated that purpose with number 5 if they're looking to publish further. Oh, spoilers. Travis Morgan and Company.
Well, yeah, but it's all alternate universe-y thingies, so, I mean, that doesn't really mean nothing, does it?
I don't know. We'll find out in 15 or 20 years when they decide to publish another Warlord comic.
Yeah. If they do it, you know, halfway decent. I don't think I've ever read that entire series. I've been trying to collect issues. I might just get to Showcase. But they did put out a couple of trades, didn't they?
I have no idea.
And there's that really crappy one that Bruce Jones wrote. The one that ruined Nightwing even further. I thought Devin Grayson could not write. It was the worst Nightwing writer ever, and then Bruce Jones wrote it, and it was even worse.
Okay, so to totally go off on a tangent, Nightwing and Warlord, what? Huh?
This guy named Bruce Jones. I don't know where they got him.
Right. But what does that have to do with Warlord?
Because I will tell you. He wrote a run of Nightwing.
Okay.
And it was horrible. And then the next book he was on was they tried to redo Warlord.
And wow, your stream of consciousness really threw me there. I apologize.
No, that's fine. it's all tied in there.
I figured it would be, but
I don't know. I've been out of it for the last couple of days. I need to get my brain has not been reset. So, but anyway.
Read some Squirrel Girl. That'll
Squirrel Girl. I've heard lots of good things about Squirrel Girl. Nutty things. No, I'm just sorry. That was so easy.
Murray, are you reading The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl?
I'm not.
Oh, Murray.
I know. It's probably great. I would probably really like it.
Looks like there's
Murray, in number 4, she beat Galactus basically with a hug.
Aw,
well,
see,
a heck
who
of a
would
hug.
Like that? Who would not like that?
Yeah.
It was one of the best comics that I've read in a long time. It was
interesting.
And number, And it's only up to number 5 right now.
Yeah.
Easy to get up.
Holy
Murray,
crap.
It is so in your wheelhouse, Murray.
From what I've heard, that's what I think thought of when I saw that. It's like, you know, I bet Murray would like that.
I probably would. I got to dig it up.
Yeah.
I'll look for it on, like, Comixology.
There you go. There you go.
I think the trade for the first 5 issues or something like that is now solicited on the Amazon.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the trade for one of mine, I noticed those on there. I just got through pre-ordering it. So, okay.
What is it?
We'll get to that. Who's first? Well, it was my topic, wasn't it?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Mine, and I've mentioned it before. Now, anybody that's listened to the podcast knows that I am a big Kurt Busiek fan.
No.
Yes, it's true.
No.
So what my pick is, and I've mentioned this before, but it's time to mention it again because I bet you this is one of those comics that not very many people are reading, though I did find a lot of reviews on it. I mean, this doesn't even have a Wikipedia entry in it yet. I mean, that just tells you. If no
get
Wikipedia.
Off your ass and write one. Come on.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I might have to do that. But anyway, I usually try anything Kurt Busiek writes because I just love his works. And the Astro City being one of them. That's a great series. Crap, I just screwed my last one. Next one. Okay, anyway. This was first called... This was first called Tooth and Claw, but the artist and him discovered later on, before the second issue came out, that there was some kind of copyright problem, so they had to change the name to it, and it's now called The Autumn Lands, : Tooth and Claw. And if you go on Image, it's put out by Image. The art is by Ben Dewey. I'm not sure what else he's done. I'll have to look that up. But the Images page calls this Conan meets Game of Thrones meets Commandy. In an original high epic fantasy epic for mature readers, as a secret conclave of wizards brings a legendary champion back through time to save the world with disastrous consequences. Now, what it doesn't tell you is the characters that you meet, they're all transmorphic animals. So it's like humanoid cats, squirrels. We're right back to squirrels again. Skunks. I'm just kind of going through here. Owls, you name it. The buffalo, all that stuff. And it's high magic is like technology. And, you know, it's somewhat of an idyllic society to start out with. And then this disaster starts happening, and they try to, one of the head wizards tries to have this big ritual to bring back the champion that had saved the world once before. And that's where it gets interesting, because the champion, you know, this has only been 5 issues out. This doesn't come out very often. But the art is awesome, and the champion ends up being human, which is interesting, and, you know, human from, some alternate future, where he's like a cyborg and everything. It's kind of cool. But, one of the things I really like about this is you open up one, and they all do this, and you'll see story, and it'll come to a certain part of the book, and then there's this... almost, it looks beautifully painted picture, and there's a section of text, of prose, that's written like from the perspective of somebody living in the world he's created, and you get a lot of background of things that's happened in the past, and then it jumps back to the story, but it relates to the story, and the guy who does the art on this is really good. And he's already got such a, only in 5 issues, it's such a deep, rich world. And, you know, the animal types, they kind of fit what you would think they would be. And, but, you know, it's It's really good. If you like fantasy at all, I mean, I'm flipping through the first issue and I see humanoid owls, giraffes, field mice, warthogs, frogs, you name it. And, but yeah, and it's magic and sorcery, and they try to bring back the champion in the first issue, and it causes a big disaster, and yeah, it's great stuff. And of course, you got your bad guys that are trying to take over, and I see a humanoid fox, and one of the very last pages is a humanoid fox riding a giant grasshopper.
Is that like like Sword of Adam style?
Yeah, kind of like that. But it's like I said, it's anthropomorphic animals, if you know what that means. That's basically, all the characters look like, you know, they have arms and legs like humans, but they look like animals. That's basically what that is. Or a furry, if you prefer. And,
Ew.
And this is rated mature, though, because there are some violence and a little bit of other things, but every single issue I have read has just been great.
I have not heard of this series at all.
I heard that it was coming out, and I was like, hey, Busiek's got a new series out. I'll give it I've read the first issue, and it's almost storybook type art, like you would see in, like that one we read from Monkey Brain that time, Aesop's Fables or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's got that kind of look to it. But it's very intense and serious, and it's like I said, the intrigue and the, how should I say, the serious level is up there with that Game of Thrones. It doesn't play around. I mean, it's not your. It looks like a storybook fairy tale, but it is not one. And I think maybe that's why I like it. But. So yeah, it's good stuff. I really enjoy it.
Boy, his art is really nice.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. And I mean, you got, yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, some of it's a little stiff, but his animals are really gorgeous. His people are not. His people are a little stiff, but his animals are great.
Yeah, that's true. It's the animal thing is more his style, obviously. And that's kind of what it gives us, its storybook look. But
there's one of his sites, he did a pinup from Mad Men, and which is okay. But then right above it there's this beautiful painting of this Friends to All Creatures, and it's got a cat in the middle holding a heart, and it's got all these animals all around it, which is just almost photorealistic. It's amazing.
I'll have to check that out. But anyway, that, like I said, it's only been 5 issues. They just, Amazon has the first for sale, if you want the first trade for sale. I didn't see how many was in it, but it was only $10. So if you want to check it out, it's beautiful stuff. It really is. I enjoy it immensely. As you would anything from Busiek, but
you know what? He drew I Was the Cat.
Ah, yeah, oh, I saw the ad for that in one of these. Now I understand the connection. Yep. He did. Now I'm gonna have to read that now.
So there you go. There's the
tragedy series, according to the cover of that. Yeah, Oni Press.
The 6 degrees of separation.
Yes, yes. Paul Tobin, we actually had on this podcast.
What?
Yeah, we did. We talked to them, remember?
No.
Yes, we did. It's been a while since we've done that.
I know.
Well, it's mostly my fault because I'm just like freakishly swamped. But anyway, that's right. My comic. I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Adding it to my pull list. At least one issue to see.
Yeah, the first issue, check it out. You might like it. I really enjoy that little, the prose. It's like 2 or 3 pages, and then there's this huge picture with, you know, various sides of text, And it's like somebody's thinking about something, and then boom, you're right in the middle of it. And then they go back to the story. It's really nice. So, that's mine.
Cool.
Heavy man.
Sweet dude.
Come on, Murray. Hit me with your best shot.
Alrighty, what am I reading? I am reading a ton of back issues right now. Because I picked up a ton from C2E2.
Woo-hoo. How was that, by the way?
It's good. It's a good show. I had been once before, but it had been a couple of years.
I really want to go to that.
It's a good, good show. Like, it's well run.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really complain about anything, except they didn't mail my tickets when they said they were going to mail my tickets, and they still haven't arrived, so if I were waiting for my tickets, I would have missed them.
Okay.
And then you will jump in your TARDIS and go to the con again.
Mm-hmm. Go back to the time. Yeah. However,
sure you don't run into yourself, because that could cause all kinds of problems.
Yeah. They had good guests. They had good panels. There were good back issue bins. I enjoyed it.
That's the important thing.
Well, I enjoyed it. They had one of the docs was there. Doctor number 7, 8.
My kid would know who you meant, but I have no clue.
I have no clue either.
Whichever doctor was the last doctor before they canceled the series for a while.
Oh, well, I know the one who is after that, but you lost me on that.
Yeah. Anyway, he's hilarious. Like, he's a friend of mine sat in on a panel, and normally at these panels, you know, you have the interviewer and you have the guest, and the interviewer interviews the guest, and if there are questions, people line up and they, you know.
Oh, Sylvester McCoy.
Questions. Yeah, him, Sylvester McCoy. And they, you know, like, they ask questions at the at the mic, and that's.
He was also in the Hobbit movies as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. That's
all
right.
Now
right. And that's kind of the way it's done.
Yeah.
But he was having none of that. He was like, ugh, that's boring. We're not doing that. And so I guess he had his own microphone, so he didn't take the microphone from the interviewer, but took his microphone, and he just walked down into the audience, and he was like, who's got questions? Have you got a question? Have you got a question? What's your question?
That's hilarious.
So he's like walking through the audience asking for questions, and people are asking him questions, and he's answering, and then the poor host is up on the stage going, could you maybe come back? Oh, no, that's boring. That's boring. We're not doing that. Could you please come back? We're live streaming this. The cameras are having a rough time following you. Please?
That's
so
awesome.
Eventually, he comes back up. Like, eventually. And they're still doing questions. And again, he's like, no, we're not going to have people line up. You got a question? You just come right up on stage. And the poor host is like, I don't think that's going to work. No, of course it's going to work. There's lots of room on the couch. Come on up. Who's got a question? And so they come up and they sit on the couch. They have a little question and chat. And he would have been fun. He sounds like he would have been just hilarious to
watch.
That's cool. Yeah, that was a good panel. And I saw Mark Wade.
Oh, you did?
Oh, wow. Every year in Chicago, he has this trivia panel where he takes on the fans.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like Mark Wade versus these four super fans.
Oh, and I would so love to do that, just to be
pretty
up
much
there.
Every year, he beats them, like, pretty much. I think they've come close a couple of years, and they might have beaten them once or twice, but really, Silver Age trivia, he's gonna win. And this year was not really an exception. They pulled ahead for a while. And they kind of had him on the ropes, but then they had the lightning round where each question was worth 50 points, and he just, like, ran away with it, and he totally won. And
awesome.
He stands up to say, like, hooray, and then he vanishes because he's fallen off the stage.
Oh, ouch.
He had, like, stepped back and fallen off and, like, crashed to the floor. And for a moment, like, he's nowhere to be seen. And then he's like, I'm okay. And, I mean, I shouldn't laugh because it's not funny. But it was kind of funny. Like, he gets up and he was like, my last words were almost red kryptonite. I've got to rethink my life. And then he was checked out by medical, and he was totally fine. He's fine. Oh, wow. He's fine. He's that's all good, amazing. But made for a dramatic ending to.
Well, yeah, that's slightly dramatic, isn't it?
I think he said that was going to be his plan if he lost, just to just kind of crash and distract people. But
oh, okay. Wait a minute. What was the score again?
Yeah.
This oh, is that's where... right. Yeah, you were ahead. That's
right. Kablam.
He used to do that at San Diego. I don't think they do it there anymore. So I think he shifted his show to CTV too. But
yeah. It was good. What other panel? Oh, I sat in on a little bit of the DC panel, which was fine. I think I hit the end of it.
Oh yeah.
I was there when they announced Dark Knight 3.
Oh, good lord! But, yeah.
Oh, it was just too funny because it's filled with like fanboys who are asking fanboy questions, and then like they're saving the announcement for the very end, and they pull Brian Azzarello up in the very last 5 minutes, and he comes up to the front, and he's not exactly the most warm and friendly person. You know, they kind of got that grouchy, cranky.
I would think so. Thing
going on for him, which works for him. Like, I mean, it's
well you know? From his writing, I could tell that would be because he wrote. I mean, that Wonder Woman he wrote with them was pretty.
Yeah. He's. I think he's kind of like a dark. Anyway, he comes up and he says, "I've got three words: DK3."
Yeah.
And like, there's not a reaction at all. It's like crickets. Like,
so.
Totally silent.
Not oh, that's sad.
A sound. And then he says, Dark Knight 3. And then people clue in. Like, then some of the kids are like, oh, hooray, woo, 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 woo. But I'm sure that is not the reaction they were going for.
Well, no. Now, well, granted, it's been so long.
I know. It's been forever. Like,
and forever. It was crap. Well, at least 2/3 of it was okay, I thought. But.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a small panel, so that might not be representative of you know, comics people in general.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would say that the reaction was mixed to lukewarm.
Jeez. Well,
and it should have been, a friendly crowd. It should have been like Chris Christie going up in front of a Republican group. I mean, it should have been like, oh my god, it's Azzarello doing Batman with Frank Miller, but people
people have got to the point where they don't really care for him, Miller, I think, and it's, I don't know if he's sick or last time I saw him on one of those I don't know, making of things on one of those DVDs or Blu-rays, he looked horrible. He looked like he was just about half dead to me.
Well, it probably would have had a bigger reaction if Miller himself had been making the announcement.
Yeah, you got a point. Very good point.
Possibly, for sure. And they'll, I mean, it's still months and months away, I think. So, so you know, there's time.
So what back issues did you
so, back issues. I yes, picked up please, a few. Like, and it was the nice thing is there was a good variety. There were like dollar bins that were like sorted alphabetically, which was great. There was one dollar bin, maybe even like a 50-cent bin that was not at all. I just walked by. I figure if they're not alphabetical, I don't have the time. Unless it's like Sunday afternoon and I got nothing to do and I feel like digging through junk, but most of them were alphabetized, so they had dollar bins, they had $2 bins, they had some really expensive Golden Age places. They had a really good variety. They had a couple of big booths with like a ton of trades and stuff, which were like half price, and that was cool. So I picked up a couple of early Legion appearances. The first Ultra Boy appearance I got Adventure 306, I think, and 309. The first subs. I got the first subs.
Wow, you really did back issue. Those are...
I know.
Yeah, that's serious, man.
They were good. And they were not they were reasonably priced. Like they were, I mean, they're not
as they should be.
I'm not going to be putting anyone through college on these. They're like strictly reader copies, but you know, I've got them now.
That's all that matters, really.
Totally. I picked up a Marvel Family, Captain Marvel Family, Marvel Family Adventures, which is in actually like not bad condition considering it's like 60 years old. It's like, it's good. Good. And then I got a ton of like, old Fantastic Four, like from the early 120s, that kind of chunk.
Yeah.
And I'm just reading through those right now, and they're, you know, they're fun. They're like after Kirby left, just after Stan Lee had left, so it's transitioning John Buscema, Roy Thomas.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fun stuff. Although it is like.
What happens in that? I'm trying to even picture what happened in those issues because those are so ignored nowadays. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're, you know, they're, I'm not gonna say they're forgettable, but they're just kind of take the team and continue telling the stories that you'd kind of come to expect. So you get the Frightful Four thrown in there. You get Mole Man. You get Johnny moaning about Crystal. You get, you know, the regular family dynamic drama of things quitting the team this issue, Human Torch is quitting the team in the next issue, Sue is a wet blanket all the time. Like, seriously, there is, you open up one of the books, and the very first panel is Sue in a cave, the water is up to her chin, it's rapidly filling, and she's like, I'm going to drown. And, like, it's big, bold print. I'm going to drown. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, if only you could make something that would cover you and fill you with air. If only there was some way you could capture oxygen and float to safety. Wait a minute. There is. But, of course, she doesn't really think about that until after she's already submerged. And then it's a little bit too late. Like, she's still... Yeah, well, she uses the excuse there's oxygen in the water a little bit, so she's able to make a very tiny force shield that kind of, but oh boy, she, that poor thing. Like, it's a good thing Byrne came along when he did, because she was such a wimp. Oh my goodness.
So was that the run where they introduced like Quicksilver as Crystal's husband, and
that's coming up in another couple of issues. I get there in a few issues. He's
that characters have been all over the place, hasn't it?
Crystal?
No, Quicksilver.
Quicksilver? Yeah, I'm interested to see how they introduce him and how that happens, because at this point, like for a while, Johnny and Crystal were separated because she was trapped behind the Inhumans dome and she couldn't get out and Johnny couldn't get in, and then I think eventually they find a way to get through the dome, and then Crystal gets sick because she's an Inhuman and she can't stand being in real people land where she's going to get real people diseases. Of course, none of the other Inhumans get real people diseases, just Crystal, so she of course has to leave the team, and you know, like, there's all this false drama about how they keep the two of them separated. So now I'm curious to see how the whole Crystal Quicksilver thing starts, because it's coming up in like another issue or two, and then I'll get to see how Crystal falls for old Fleet Feet there.
Now, is Franklin born yet? Yeah, I guess he is.
Franklin's born. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and depending on the artist, he's sometimes a baby. He's sometimes a toddler. He's
well, he is an awful powerful mutant. After, you know.
Apparently he's got the power to be just whatever age the artist needs him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to stay that age for a good long time.
Wow.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So I've been reading that, and I've been reading the Convergence stuff. Not the miniseries so much as the little one-shots. And they've been just what I've expected them to be. There have been a couple of really good ones, a lot of kind of mwah. And then, you know, a few that are in the middle there. They're like, you know, they're totally like the Flashpoint minis. They're stop gaps. We got to fill time till we're ready to do real stories. But they're all right. I don't know if I'll get as many second issues as I got first issues, but But it was good to see, you know, some of those characters again, and hopefully we'll get to see them again later. Although, I don't know. I'm curious to see how Convergence ends, because the miniseries itself is totally not what I was expecting. Like, it's not big. It's very small. It's very, intimate. It's very, Earth 2-centric.
Yeah.
It's almost not tying into anything else at all.
Issue six is supposed to do the start tying it all in, just say, this week.
Yeah. So they're going to do like they've been doing the last couple of years with this kind of stuff, is drag us on, and then the last two issues, they shove it all down our throat, basically?
Yes.
We will see. I don't mind that it's like a small little story. It's just not what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be a little more every single character and worlds are going to live, worlds are going to die, blah, blah, blah. But it hasn't been that at all. It's been very much setting up
whatever the new Earth 2 series
is.
Yeah, true.
Oh, huge curveball thrown in the Warlord stuff. I had no idea they were going there. And I think that's why it took me a while
to remember who that was, too.
Deimos. Well, I've read those Warlords a couple of times, and I knew exactly. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. And they made him out initially to be a good guy, and then...
it seemed like it. You're right.
Well, anyone who knew Warlord would know that he's not going to be a good guy.
Well, he didn't look like the last time I'd seen that character.
I don't think he got a lot of play. Like, after Grell left the series, I don't think he was around a whole... Like, he would pop up a little bit, I think, but I don't think Juergens used him much.
Nope.
And I don't know who came after Juergens, because I was gone by then.
So not to rub salt in it, because I've made my opinion on this known, I think. How did you like the Convergence Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes?
I liked it better than I thought.
I liked
the artwork, and I was not expecting to. I was expecting to really dislike it based on the preview pages that I saw, but I didn't mind it. I don't know that I'd like it for the Legion, but it's got this distinctive style and the giant belts and the kind of weird bodies and the faces. Like, I'm okay with all of that on some series. Like, if that artist found the right series, I would probably check it out. I don't know that I want to see it on the Legion forever or again. But I thought the art was okay, and I thought the story was fine. Like, it caught the characters at the moment, for the most part, where they were. I don't know that Lightning Lass was the right choice to try to seduce Superboy.
I would buy a Stuart Moore written Legion book in a heartbeat based on this. But yeah. Gus Storms has got to find some other venue for his art for me.
Oh yeah, I'm the same way. I liked the story, but not the art. It was
I could see that it not being everyone's cup of tea for sure.
It was horrible.
Yeah, I agree. It was horrible. It was almost as bad as those Scott Collins issues at the end of that last run of Superboy and Legion, or of Legion.
Ooh.
You know? That tells you.
See, I didn't have that much trouble with it myself, but that's just me.
You visit. You dare.
I'm just saying. I just didn't have that much trouble with it. It's fine. You know,
well, so far the number twos of the minis, even though there's only week one, only one of them so far has caught my fancy. The number ones, there was a smattering of really good ones, but it's been a slog. It disappoints me that I cringe a little bit when I see that these issues are next in my to read pile.
Well, and the thing is, like, some of the creative team, like, way too many of the creative teams took the, we got to set up the whole situation. Like, if I never see another page of the dome with the voice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But if I never see another one of those, that'll be fine with me. Because that whole setup is like, okay, anyone buying this series knows what the setup is. You could put that on the inside cover. Mm. You don't need to do 2 or 3 or 8 pages of it because it gets repetitive. It gets repetitive after the first issue. But 30 issues of that is like, stop.
Yeah, that...
Was it Superman that didn't even show it? And that was what I think it was, the Convergent Superman number one. Just totally disregarded. It was an off-panel moment, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, I didn't read that one. There was one, though, that I read that there were a couple that kind of did clever things with the premise. Like, too many of them fell back on the, here's what happened a year ago, and then here's the blip, and then...
Yeah.
But there were a few... I'm trying to think of the one that really... Like, I think the Shazam one did some interesting things. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I haven't read all of them yet still.
There was another one that did a really interesting... Played around with... Anyway, if they're... The creative teams are able to, like, do some neat things within the setup, I'll give them a little more rope, but... It's very formulaic. I am curious how it's all going to wrap up, though, because clearly the issue twos aren't going to give us any sort of definitive answer. Like, we're not going to see worlds being destroyed in the issue twos. So, and I figure by the end of the Convergence mini, we're not going to see any. I'm hoping we're not going to see any of the worlds destroyed. I'm hoping we're not going to see one world survivor. We're going to see, like, a whole bunch of little survivors, or everybody survives or something. I mean, I figure that'll be the ending that should come about, but we'll see. Hmm. We will see.
Interesting.
It's been a bit of a slog for most of them, but there's been a few gems floating around in there. Absolutely. Hmm. The Shazam one definitely steps out. The Justice League, with the James Robinson era Justice League in there.
That was I like those two.
What's another one that really in the last couple of weeks that jumped out at the Blue Beetle one is really good.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Actually,
I kind of like that one. Yeah.
The Justice Society one was well worth it.
I like that one too.
Anyhow, I mean, I there are a couple others that have stepped out, but those are just in the last couple of weeks that have really been. And the Green Lantern Corps one. I didn't think I was going to like that one, but it was actually really good.
Good. I'm looking forward to that one then.
Oh, see, I don't think I read that one.
It's a Guy Gardner focus. It's really actually very – it was one of those ones that I was like, I'm just going to look at it, and I ended up starting over from the beginning and really enjoyed it.
Nice. That's cool.
Sorry.
No, that's good. I became quite the Guy Gardner fan until they – made him a Red Lantern, to tell you the truth. So, all right, Caleb.
And you may not like this one.
Oh, well, okay. They made him like he used to be. But that's
Somewhere, you have to pick up the Secret Wars number one. Chris, if you've already picked it up and haven't you?
I've read it. Yeah, actually, I got it on Comixology, even though it was slightly... expensive, but I went ahead and I wanted to see what the deal was because I haven't really read. I only think I read is Daredevil, and it's kind of like off in its own little universe anyway. And that, I have to admit, that was something else.
Wasn't it?
Yes. I was not expecting that level of finality. And I knew absolutely nothing about the Ultimate Universe, so I started reading. That's what they started out with, and I'm like, who the hell are these people? They look familiar, but... And then it's like, bam! Oh, now I understand. Okay. Yeah, that's something else.
Yeah, as someone who reads all the Avengers titles, it was... those ones led directly into this, and but unnecessary reading. It's simply, you know, the next chapter of those Avengers books, but if you're not reading the new Avengers or Avengers or... Avengers World, then don't worry about it. It's still, I thought it was a great first issue of an event book.
All right, then. Cool.
If you like events.
I'd have to say I would like to like all of them, but not all of them have been likable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I'm trying, you know.
Let me see, what else? I got too many. I am now firmly never going to read another Grant Morrison comic again, ever. Ever.
After Multiversity?
Number two.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I like that stuff. The meta stuff, but my God, was it overboard?
Yeah, it was. It was. I can't.
Wow.
I said it after what was not Infinite? Was it Infinite Crisis that he did? Was that his or
no? Final Crisis.
Final Crisis.
Pardon me. Woo. Okay. Sorry, I didn't get to meet.
I think I wouldn't read his stuff anymore then, and I fell off that wagon, but I'm back. That wagon, and I think I'm going to ride that wagon off into the sunset and never, ever look back.
Well, I don't think he's going to do superhero comics anymore, at least not for DC.
I never read anything by him again.
Well, let's see. As far as that goes, I've always said I've been either I hate it or I love it of anything he's done. I like the other issues, almost all of them. But that was, I was digging it at first, but it was like watching Saturday Night Live when they do one of those skits that, okay, it's been 10 minutes and you're still doing the same gag and it's time to quit, but then they keep going 10 more minutes after that. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what that was like for me.
He's dead to me.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, boy.
It's like, dude, well, I don't know, I wouldn't go that far, but...
I've gone that far.
Okay, well, no, I don't blame you. It's way overboard.
And then let me see. I found really cheap Justice League of America 195 through 200.
Really?
Nice.
Yes.
Very, very nice. In fact, that's cool.
That Secret Society supervillain story is one of my personal favorites of all time.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, that is.
Of course, led directly into Infinity Incorporated, which was also a favorite. And then, of course, number 200's in there, which I am going to crack the cover on today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or sort of beat the cover on.
Yeah. Well, all right. So
that's my back. What else? God, oh, my God, my list is too long. The Amazing Spider-Man's been really good. This Ant-Man series that's out there is really just goofy, mm-hmm. nonsense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's a private eye down in Miami now, and there's a number four has an awesome Miami Vice pastiche cover.
I saw that. It was at the comic shop for Free Comic Book Day.
Pretty hot, pretty awesome. The X-Men books have been good. I'll be interested to see how they spin into Secret Wars. Let me see, Convergence. We talked about that. Daredevil, of course, has been great with this.
Oh yeah,
the Daughter of the Owl.
That book.
And I'm slowly catching up on the Netflix series. I think I just watched episode 5.
Oh, that Netflix series is awesome, man. It really is.
Gotham Academy. We talked about that. Not too many scroll. Oh, the Star Wars books have been really good from Marvel. If you're not reading them.
I haven't read any Star Wars books, no, just that one so far.
Okay. The Princess Leia book, not the Princess Leia, the Darth Vader book has been really fun. So, this is Spider-Woman. Awesome. Awesome. Shouldn't be. I'm reading a freaking Spider-Woman book. How stupid is that? But Dennis Hopeless is such a great writer.
Yeah.
He is my new favorite new writer of mainstream books. Let me see. And... Uncanny X-Men. Oh, I just mentioned them. Squirrel Girl, we already talked about. The Return of the Living Deadpool. But you have to be a Deadpool fan to like that.
Mm.
And Guardians of the Galaxy. Nah. Ah, again, I'm all over the place. But and Bandette just came out with an issue that I haven't read yet.
Yeah, I saw that in my list of books.
I got to check that out still. Golly gee, I can't believe how all over the board I am here. Wow.
You are all
okay,
over.
Okay, sorry. Bloodshot has been really... The new Bloodshot series, Bloodshot Reborn, Jeff Lemire.
Really?
Yeah.
He's another person that I've been hit or miss with. I like the suit that when he did Superboy that for that brief 5 or 6 minutes. And then I read, you know, the Sweet Tooth thing, nothing. And then he did a couple of things for Vertigo, like that Mr. Nobody or something like that. That was like an Invisible Man type deal. That was really good, but I don't know. And when he did that the stuff with the Legion, oh my God! I don't know if I could read. I don't know if I could read his stuff again. I just don't know.
Well, he's doing Hawkeye or All New Hawkeye or whatever it's called.
Yes, it is All New Hawkeye. Yeah.
From Marvel, which has been off to an interesting start. It's a hard act to follow from the last Hawkeye series, but then Valiant got a hold of him, and he's doing Bloodshot Reborn, which, oh my God, they want to shove Bloodshot down our throats over at Valiant, but
do they?
It's like how Marvel was trying to shove Luke Cage down everyone's throat for a while there. But it's DC with shoving Robin down everyone's throat. Good. It's only one issue deep, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I need to look at that.
I'm not gonna gush too hard, but it's worth a look.
Yeah, Valiant just like completely dropped off my radar. The stuff they were doing, it was really great, and it just kind of died it to me.
They have an event coming up. So maybe you'll have an opportunity.
Yeah, I really liked that Armor Wars that they was doing, and I, you know, tracked down the issues of that, but it wasn't enough to get me back on things. I don't know.
Oh, I know, and this one surprised me. Superman number 40 came out last week.
I've really been enjoying that.
This is a really cool exploration of his new power.
Number 40. No, I need to... I think I'm too behind. I'm looking at my list. I haven't read 39 yet.
Yeah, check out number 40. 40 was well worth the effort.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
It wasn't written by Jeff Johns, though. I think it was actually written by...
The new guy?
No. Give me a second here. Okay. Romita Jr. Romita Jr. actually wrote it himself. JRJR actually wrote the
issue. Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Well, they're getting that new guy. So that should be interesting.
And it's got a very cool Legion cover as one of the alternate or the variant covers for it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, drawn by... bloody hell. What was it drawn by? Gary Frank, who I don't normally like.
Okay, not on that.
And I would say I was completely, completely irritated and underwhelmed with Batman number 40. So,
I haven't read it yet. Did you read the Divergence book for Free Comic Book Day?
Did. I liked the Justice League chapter.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Should be interesting. Very much.
The thing they're doing in Batman irritates me simply because they have a movie coming out next year with Bruce Wayne as Batman, and I wonder if Bruce Wayne will be in the costume in the only other media tie-in they've got.
They've got other books. Well, no, what? There's no more Batman and Robin. You're right. Interesting. I haven't read any. Have you? They had all the previews for the new stuff after Convergence on Comixology. I haven't read any of them yet.
Nope, I have not. I have not had time.
Let's see what other book. Well, of course, you mentioned Daredevil, loving that.
It's Marvel.
That's the only Marvel book I'm reading right now. Actually, I'm trying to think. Of course, there might be stuff out there. I just haven't. Well, I'll take that back. I'm going to be reading Secret Wars because I'm kind of interested in how that's going to end up. Now, about the limited series, I might read them, but I don't know if I'll be getting them on Comixology. I'll let you do the math on that one.
It's expensive.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been buying all. I admit I've been buying all the Convergence stuff, just so you know. Like we've said before, or I think Paul French is the one that says it. You vote with your pocketbook, and that's what I've been doing. So that's been like $40 a week.
You carry a pocketbook? How cute.
Well, you know, it's a small one. It's virtual. But, yeah. Anyway, that should be interesting. How that, I've been buying all those just to, you know, that. I've got, I love that East and West series, but I only get them in trade when they're on sale. Well, I've been getting the virtually trades. I want to get the actual copies because that's a good book. And there's one, that one by Scott Collins and Matt Kent, The Pastaways. I want to read that. I have not gotten a copy of it yet. I'm trying to think. Astro City. Yes, Astro City is awesome. Loving it. The way he can turn superhero stuff that's old hat and he twists it around and puts the human element to it. It's more about the character than it is the events. I mean, a whole new character that I've never heard of in this last issue, Starfighter. No, actually, they've talked about Starfighter before. Very interesting character. Actually retires and it's good stuff. It really is. If you still like superheroes but you're tired of the everyday stuff, Astro City is great. They just released and they're re-releasing some of them of the trades of the first run from back when it was still before even Wildstorm, Homage, I think. They just put out, and I just got it from DCBS the other day, which was a real hard... That's when he was really sick, so the issues came out sporadically. And I'm not even sure if I got them all, but it was the Dark Age. And he had four books, and they finally put out the first one in trade.
Did you see that one stat that 2014 was the first full year of Astro City in history.
I'm not surprised at all. He's had a lot of problems.
It was the first year he's ever put out 12 issues in a year.
And it's worth it. It really is. I love that book. And it's been coming out fairly regularly now through Vertigo. But I mean, if you ever started reading it and couldn't get it, get the trades. They're worth it. They're coming out again. It was like that Dark Age. It was in the 70s when it took place, and it's about two brothers. One of them's on the side of the lawn. One of them gets into the bad side and like into the supervillains and stuff like that. And it's really good. It's really, really good stuff. So. And they did I think that ties into what happened to the Silver Agent, which is the Captain America analog in that universe. Yeah, really good stuff. I always look forward to Astro City when it comes out. Because it's just good to read. I mean, you know, it's wordy without being, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not like a slog, you know.
Yeah.
Like trying to read. Not trying to read, you know, War and Peace or something like that. It's
or a Grant Morrison book.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. but anyway, it's good stuff. It really is.
Real quick, then on the Vertigo front, Fables 149 came out a couple. I think it was about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and that was the last issue of the monthly. Mm-hmm. They're actually putting out a 150, which is going to be a trade paperback size issue. I think it comes out in June. Yeah.
Huh.
So it's actually going to be their last trade. You know, it does really well in trade paperback. And
oh yeah.
So
I've got the first four.
The second last trade paperback will be up through 149, and then the last trade paperback itself will be issue 150, which I don't know the exact page count on it, but
wow,
it's pretty huge. But the series is essentially over, and it was so if anyone's looking to trade a particular series, it's done. Fables is it.
Yeah, and I was thinking because I've only read the first two, but got the first four. They started putting out deluxe editions of it with a whole year, I think, in one. I might start getting those.
It's worth it. It's a good
book. It is definitely. I think that's the one first time I ever tried to branch out past the superhero genre. I don't know what brought me to it. Well, that's not true. Walking Dead was probably before that, but yeah, I've always liked that, and I don't know why I never did get back to it. Mainly because there's just so many trades. So many of them. I think it's like in the 20s now.
The trade paperbacks? I think you're right.
Yeah, so it was like, it's still coming out, so I'm not going to miss it. But yeah, they got those deluxe editions. I might do that instead.
Come and go. I got nothing else. I am
completely spent.
No, I could talk forever on other books that I'm reading, but I don't want to.
Here they are. They're deluxe editions. They're running about $20. Looks like roughly 20. So yeah, that might be a little bit. They're hardcovers as well, and those always look good on the old bookshelf.
Caleb, what happened in issue 149? I'm trying to think if I've got it or if I don't.
Oh yeah, put me on the spot, why don't you? I honestly, I don't remember. I honestly do not recall.
So there was an issue where we got the story of Rose Red and Snow White's mother.
Right.
And then was there an issue after that?
Yeah, we got Bigby comes back full blown. I think he's actually back. He's I want to say he's back to normal because they take out what's her name Spratt's wife
Jack Spratt.
Yeah.
They take her down.
I'm going to have to dig through my back issues. I have a feeling I've missed 149.
It's out there.
It's usually on my pull list. But anyway, I'll have to look. I'll have to look and see because it's not sounding familiar.
I was looking at the deluxe editions on Amazon. It not only does it collect issues, but it gets, for example, deluxe edition book one also has the a prose story that was done. Yeah, Bill Willingham's prose story from volume one trade is in there. That's like 10 issues. And then book two deluxe edition has the volume also includes the special Fables The Last Castle. So I mean it's got other some it tries to pull together some of those specials and stuff. So yeah, I think I need to start getting those.
All right, so I found a little wiki on it here. Give me a minute. Rose is formulating a plan. She says no, Snow is stronger, so she will use Bigby to kill her, making him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, she makes it clear as a Bigby is unresolved.
I'll never remember all that.
That has been cured, and. Then calling for the kids. Let me see. Then we see a panel where Snow is in front of destroyed Wolf Manor calling for the kids and Bigby. Then one where Brandish kills Lancelot. Brandish kills Lancelot. So Brandish is free to go. Sad to say because Brandish is one of the more evil characters, like that one in Game of Thrones. I gotta find a bet. This wiki page blows.
I'm gonna have to find that one. I think I missed it.
It came out in February. Dude. So the cover has Rose and Bigby on the cover necking in the woods.
That's always nice.
I definitely hate. I'll have to dig around and see if I have 149. Oh, well, any excuse to go through the old giant pile of back issues.
Yeah, anyway, I gotta go. Gotta go? Okay, we'll
get. I gotta go.
Yeah, I probably do too. I heard all the kids are. I think they're laying in wait on the other side of the door there to attack me. I heard them whispering.
I can't find my 149. Yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy your Mother's Day,
yes,
gentlemen.
Yes, you too, guys, and you too. All of you out there. Hope you had a nice one. And as always, you can send us an email at. Sorry, I was distracted by a text. My apologies. You can you can email us at podcast@talesfromlineboxbot.com and let us know what you think, or you can comment on the actual issues or podcast episodes. My bad, man. I need a nap. Or you can join us on the Facebook page and the ever-growing, slowly, maybe once every couple of months, we get a new person in. But they're there. They're out there. We know somebody's listening. And, yeah, that's about it. That's all it for this week.
Well, enjoy your weekend, gentlemen.
All right, we're out. Okay, yeah. Enjoy your weekend.
Catch you later.
Later.
Hey, guys. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye, guys.
Thank you.